Why do some people live in peace all the time and some can't ever live in peace? What is the problem here? It's sin. If you're living in sin, God says, if you obey me, he says in the scripture, if you obey me, I will even make your enemies be at peace with you. Isn't that something? So who's going to make your enemies be at peace with you? God. That's absolutely right. God. Yeah. He's the one that's going to do that. So if you're not living in peace, there's something you need to look at in your life. Because if you don't have peace, if you're not living in peace with your husband, your mate, whatever, and with your children, you got a problem. There's something there that's not where God wants you to be. Because if everything was where he wanted you to be, he would make you be at peace with all people. He would. That's what he says. I make peace and I create evil. Now then, whenever people don't obey him, like in the United States of America, we have turned our back on God. I mean, we've thrown him out of everything. We don't want him in school. We don't want him in government. We don't want him in church. We don't want him nowhere. Oh, is this religious? Two things I don't talk about, politics and religion. Well, let me tell you, I don't talk about religion either, but if you're around me, you're going to hear Jesus. We're going to talk about Jesus because I know Jesus is the one that he's the one that keeps me in health. Since I've learned these wonderful promises, glory to God. I'm not far off from another birthday. You know, just in a few months, I'm going to be 71 years old. And since I've learned these principles, I have stood from the time I was 45 to now. That's nearly 26 years without having one sick day in 25 years. Now, how do you want it? Do you want to be wealthy? You want to be well and at peace with all your people? Or you want to go through hell on earth and be sick all the time? Hey, I want to be well, don't you? Well, God says for me to do that, I have to obey him. I have to do what his word says. And if I don't, it's a given. You're going to suffer. And nobody wants it. And then, of course, when people start suffering, what's the first thing we do? How many people have you ever heard of that when a sickness and disease comes upon them, the first thing they say is, God, what did I do that didn't please you? You ever hear that? Oh, no, if I'm sick and afflicted, it couldn't be because I got mad at my husband last night, right? Couldn't be because I got mad at my wife last night. You know, it couldn't be because I got mad at my friend yesterday. And it couldn't be those things. But, yeah, it can be. If you walk into God kind of love, he said, I will make you live in peace, even with your enemies. There may be some people that don't like you, but they'll be at peace when they're around you. They won't hurt you, you know, as long as you obey. But when you get into grumbling and complaining, ooh, that testimony was awesome, Jack. When you get into grumbling and complaining, God gave you a couple of days to fuss about that, didn't he? And then he says, bam, I'm going to sock my son because he knows better. And then when you repented, like you said, it took you just about as long to get over as it did to come upon you, right? Isn't that amazing how he works? You reap what you sow. Okay, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. I, the Lord, do all these things. He does all these things. Ecclesiastes, he says in verse 4, then I observed that most people are motivated to success by their envy of their neighbors. You know, you can have somebody move into a neighborhood and they're perfectly content. And all of a sudden they walk outside one morning and their neighbor's got a new Mercedes. Look, he's got a brand new Mercedes, a 2009. Look at that thing. Isn't that thing beautiful? I don't look at mine. Mine's a 2003. Look at my old junky Mercedes. I need to work harder. You know, instead of saying, God, I praise you for that 2003 car. I don't care if it's a motorcycle. You know, I don't care if it's a moped or what. If you got something to get you around, you ought to say, praise God for my transportation. Is that right? Don't ever grumble about your old car. You know, I mean, that's just like the other day when I was grumbling about working on that carburetor on my little airplane. When God shot me in the eye with that gasoline, I mean, that gasoline hit me in the eye, set me on fire. And the minute that happened, the Lord told me, he said, son, you should not be grumbling about this airplane. He said, you ought to be praising me that I gave you this airplane. You ought to be praising me that I give you the knowledge to fly this airplane. Then you ought to praise me. I give you the money to buy gas for this air. He named a whole bunch of things, and I wasn't praising him for nothing. But that told me right quick, he was not happy with me. And that's why I got that gas in my right eye. And let me tell you, by the end of that day, well, every time I'd open my eye and look across there, and them numbers, great big numbers on the side of my building and stuff out there, they were blurry. I thought, oh, God, I'm so sorry that I grumbled. Lord, I promise you, if you'll help me, I'll never grumble again. It don't pay good dividends, does it, Jack? He let me be like that all day. The next morning when I woke up, my eye was clear again. I said, oh, praise you, Lord, because guess who can take that eye away? He can. Guess who can make that eye strong? He can. And I love it. I love it, you know, to be able to. In fact, when we were coming back from Odessa Friday, we're flying along there, and the controller, he said, you know, you got traffic at 1 o'clock. He's 10 miles, and he's only 1,500 feet above you. He's going this, you know, toward the west, and I'm going toward the east this way. And so I thought, he said it's a 737. I thought, okay, that's a pretty big airplane. So I immediately just locked my eyes at 1 o'clock and begin to look. And it's amazing when he's going 500 miles an hour that way, and I'm going 250 miles an hour that way, how fast the time, that, you know, just in a matter of just a few, maybe a minute or two, it wasn't long, I saw this big, beautiful jet, and then he's gone. I thought, wow, at least I got to see this one. It's amazing how quick these things can go away. But if I didn't have two good eyes, I couldn't have seen that. If I didn't have two good eyes, I can't be flying up there in that airplane. You can't do those things without eyes. I don't care what anybody tells you. Without eyes, you can't fly an airplane. I don't care who you are. It's impossible to fly without eyes. You've got to be able to see. So I'm grateful for my eyes. And who gives me these eyes? God does. When's the last time you thanked him when you woke up? Lord, thank you for my eyes. Or when's the last time you said, just like he says in the book of Proverbs, you should thank me for your eyes and your ears because they're both a gift from me to you. When's the last time you thanked him? Lord, I thank you for my eyes. Lord, I thank you for my ears. I thank you, Lord, for my hand that works, that has no pain. I thank you for that. I mean, talking about that pain, that hand has no pain. Only this last week, Eldon and I was moving some steel pipe. And we were unloading off a truck. Those joints of pipe weigh at least 200, 250 pounds a piece. They're 3-inch heavyweight steel pipe. Well, we were rolling them off the side of the truck onto the ground. And one of the ones we were dealing with, got hung under the end down there on his end. Well, I had a pair of gloves on, but I reached under the pipe and I picked the pipe up. Just as I picked it up with my right hand, you know, just off the deck, it was on a 2x4 right in the middle of it. Eldon pulled his end out, and when he come out from under, he flopped it up like that. And when he did, this end over here, guess what happened to this end? It went down like crazy. And if you ever had your hand hit with a 16-pound sledgehammer, that's what it felt like. I mean, it hit my hand across there, and it mashed them fingers. And I will have to say, some of you may not think this is too gross, but it hit so hard that the meat on the two center fingers busted, and the meat come gushing out through the skin. So it got hit pretty hard. It wasn't just a little bitty hit. So it hurt. I'm telling you, it hurt. I started screaming, oh, Lord, praise you, Lord. I thank you for my fingers that they're still there and they're not broke. Eldon come running over. He says, let me pray for you. I said, okay. He put his hands on there and said, Lord. I said, oh, Eldon, don't mash them. They hurt. He said, oh, you got to touch them. I said, oh, but turn them loose. They hurt so bad. I mean, just think, I hit them hard enough that this meat busted open and the flesh comes squeezing out of the ends. That's pretty hard. But he started praying, worshiping God, praising him, thanking him for taking away my pain and everything. And within 5 minutes, no pain. I don't even have, my fingernails didn't even turn black. Now, what can prayer do? When Eldon prays for you, hey, it can do wonderful things, I guarantee. If you ever need a real man of faith to pray for you, call Eldon. He's good. I mean, I'm telling you, the last time we were down there unloading some stuff, I got real tired. It was 100 degrees that day. And I said, Eldon, I got to stop. We'd been working all day long. I said, let's stop underneath this tree here and let's rest a minute. And so we got under the tree. I'm sitting on a rock. He's sitting on a rock. And he starts raising his hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us favor. renew us, give us the heart of a 16-year-old, renew our strength and all these things. And he's only praying this for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, that oak tree we were under began to shake, and leaves begin to fall off of that thing, acorns begin to fall off of that thing, and I'm looking all around, there ain't another tree nowhere moving, but that one's moving. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God came up on me and him both, and I said, wow, I feel like a brand new man. I jumped up there and I said, man, let's get that trailer unloaded. I mean, when Eldon says, Lord, give us the heart of a 16-year-old, I'm telling you, he did it. I had no problem. I worked the rest of that day till way after dark that night and never did even get tired. Now, what can you do through prayers of faith? Everything. That's exactly right. Everything. Well, see, when you know how to walk in faith and you know who your God is, you can do such great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Hey, but back here, they didn't have this. They didn't have this power. They didn't have this comforter that we're going to talk about in a minute. But he says, I observe that most people are motivated to succeed by their envy of their neighbor. But this too is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. So let's say you do get a bigger, say you even go to work somewhere and you work night and day. And I've seen people do this. You work night and day. You totally forget God. I mean, you're just working, man. And all of a sudden you get some business deals that go real good. And all of a sudden now you can bring a new Ferrari, a 2009 Ferrari in parking. You say, oh, hey, go over, knock on the neighbor's door. Hey, I see you got that 2009 Mercedes, that piece of junk. Let me show you what I got sitting in my driveway. And it was all vanity. I mean, both of these cars in a few years are going to be in the junk heap. You know that? There'll be nothing. And this guy will have paid. He didn't serve Jesus. And of course, the thing about it is, I knew of a man one time that was a very successful businessman, and he had a very successful company. And when he got enough money to buy his first brand new Cadillac, I mean, he went out and bought this Cadillac. Man, he thought this was the most awesome car there ever was, but he didn't serve God. I mean, he was a Christian, he said, but he wouldn't put God first. He's driving down the road one day, riding along in his Cadillac, then look at my car, and some young kid come through a stoplight and run, hit him right in the side and just messed that car up. That guy jumped out of that car and began to read that kid the riot act. He was screaming at that kid, you idiot, look what you've done to my car. And he fell dead, had a heart attack.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Comforter Lives in You, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.